This is very fancy.
What's that?
The microphone.
The microphone, yes. This is all fine. We're all running. Okay, we're off.
We're off.
Yeah. So, the only thing I say is just who you are, just their name, and see what happens.
Yeah. I'm Tristan.
I'm Steve.
So you're just back from Kenya then?
I've just had 3 weeks in Kenya where the temperature was about half of what it is here in the Peak District. So not only do we have global warming, we have global upside down topsy-turvy weather everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Very weird. Just had the hottest night of, not only of the year, but of my entire life in the UK, I think, which coincides with the launch of my climate change book rather appropriately. So today's discussion is very timely, I would say.
Yeah, no.
It's no coincidence, is it?
Of course it's not. There's no such thing as coincidence.
Yeah.
Well, if there is, we just take opportunities as they face
as
us.
They arise.
As they slap us in the face.
Mm. Yeah. Did you see the storm the other night?
Oh, yes.
I was woken up by it.
Yeah.
But it didn't rain.
It poured with us.
Did it?
Total tropical downpour.
Yeah.
Right.
It hammered down with us as well eventually. But you're right, though, in that the lightning started... Before the rain.
I slept through the rain, but it didn't rain very heavily in where we were.
It did with us. Yeah.
So where do you?
We're in Bamford, right on the Derwent.
Ah, okay.
Yeah,
so
just up the river here.
Yeah, you get all the rain before we get it in Sheffield.
Yes, probably. Yes, but today's discussion has reminded me of a few nice little snippets in my backstory, and Martin was nicely sharing stories. So two of my highlights in my life that seemed at the time to be completely unconnected with where we are now. I was working in London years ago, as I think Martin said he was as well, and I was involved in launching the Bottle Bank glass recycling scheme, and the highlight that then I persuaded that's as far as I could go, time to move on, was when we were invited to put a bottle bank in the kitchens at Buckingham Palace, and Prince Charles came along. And of course all the media just wanted to know, what do they drink, can we have a look at their empties? So at that point, I thought, well, that's quite a career highlight, so time to do something different. So I bought a Land Rover and drove to Africa and didn't come back for 30 years. So strange turn of events then finds me here many years later, happily ensconced in the Peak District, where I had no expectation or intent to come. So what do you say? Stories. And we tell them, we think about them, we have to leverage them, and that makes life very interesting sometimes.
You've thrown there's an interesting one. The stories have to be leveraged. There's always a business side to all these.
No, I wouldn't say necessarily a business side, but there's a continuum that you can't see until you've passed it. They make sense looking back, but it's completely blank looking forward. All this idea of strategizing and vision boards and stuff like that. I prefer the journey as it is at the moment, never mind looking too far ahead. What about you, Tristan?
Well, I think that's the case, isn't it? I mean, if you talk to most 16, 17, 18-year-olds, I'd be amazed if many of them have any idea what they're going to do with their life, certainly in a working sense. Some people might have an idea they want to work outdoors or... And of course there are some people that are very focused and do know exactly what they want to do, but I think for the vast majority of us, even if we start off knowing what we want to do, and I never did, a bit like you, Martin, I'm still trying to work out what I'm going to do when I grow up.
Me too.
It's something that just happens, and you take opportunities as they arise. But it's the same in life generally, isn't it, as opposed to just in business.
A lot of successful businesses, some of the world's biggest, have been very opportunistic. They might say in retrospect, for the sake of the shareholders, that there was a deliberate strategy, but I bet most of the time there isn't.
No, I love hindsight strategy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great one.
And an awful lot of it, isn't it? It's about being in the right place at the right time, isn't it? And your area in particular, the computing, is cracking for that, isn't it, in terms of people having the right the right goods and everything else coming along and being there at the right time.
What amused me is that you're just talking about sort of hindsight. Amazon is a classic one, another one. He thought he'd flog a few second-hand books because he couldn't get his out-of-print books. I mean, he had no idea he was going to send people in space, or that everybody else was going to collapse in around his business model or the way it worked out. So, got some very bright people with him, which is great. And I think that's the interesting thing, one that I like, that, you know, you aren't the font of all knowledge. That's definitely not the case. No. But you attract and get people who are got individual specialisms or something, and the technology means you can, you know, you actually go out. And you can, you know, you find these. There's a lot more opportunity, which is why I'm much more optimistic about the businesses. You know, you're not maybe going too far down the line when you find out that it's not right, but you have many opportunities to get it right.
One of the interesting things I'm finding out about climate change planning, you hear even the British government saying we'll be zero carbon by 2050. They have no idea what that means. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's not possible without completely stopping the burning of fossil fuels, which means bankrupting Saudi Arabia, Venezuela, Russia, China. I mean, it's basically not going to happen. And if you drill down a little bit, they say, oh, but there'll be lots of new technologies popping up. And guess what? There really will be. There'll be lots of innovations, but they won't be high-tech carbon sequestration and alternative energies, because we know what those alternative energies are now. It'll be people like ourselves sitting in a van, sitting in a pub car park, walking on the moors, chatting together and changing the way we live and the way we do things. And I think we'll see some incredible social innovations over the next 10, 20 years that makes the big stuff seem irrelevant.
I think that's a critical thing, though, isn't it? Is that change of the way in which we live and work. Because it's all very well, it's all moving from petrol and diesel powered cars across to...
Well, there isn't an alternative that's viable yet anyway.
Yeah. But if we all end up with Teslas or whatever the affordable version of an electric car is, it doesn't actually do anything to address the issues that come with overcrowded roads, the fact that we live on a small island, we can't go on with everybody having cars, and you can replicate that across everything
The world's population is between 7 and 8 billion. And within another 10 years, or 2030, it's going to be 9 towards 10 billion. And when you work out the numbers, that means another 1,000 cities the size of London in 10 years. How can that possibly happen? So there are lots of big, big, scary issues around that nobody really wants to talk about, because there really aren't solutions. But nevertheless, things will happen and will change, because human beings are essentially very creative, very innovative, and collectively, as you say, we will dream stuff up.
Yeah. It sounds all doom and gloom, that, you know, when you say, you know, how the hell do we cater for 1,000 cities the size of London? These are sort of figures that resonate. Why can't we get something that we, as we go back to talking in a van, that resonates the same way as something happens? I mean, that's not going to happen, you know, whatever. It's beyond people's comprehension. And that's not in any way derogatory. It's, you know, people talking about, how am I going to get from here to here? Why do I need to do that? You know, it's a very local thing. That's all I was kind of trying to say, you know, the solutions, you're right. Something's going to come up. But I don't know about you, but do you get like a feel-good factor about things when you meet people or meet something or do something?
I think you do. You come to networking events, and particularly when you're meeting people, groups of people for the first time, you hear things and it sparks off all sorts of ideas, and that is exciting. And I think that, you know, what's great about it is, I suppose, that the fact that it is local, and I guess that's where sort of technology gets more interesting, isn't it? Because local then gets bigger in terms of what your reach is.
I'd agree with all of that, and I find when I research the big scary things that are going on in the world, I start to smile to myself, because I just see challenges and opportunities in this, not the obvious threats. The threats are obvious, and the challenges and opportunities need rooting out. They are not so obvious, but they'll be huge. Just as the internet shifted business completely from offline to online, so all of the changes going on now, not just climate change, but Brexit and potential geopolitical instability in the Persian Gulf, etc., etc. All of this will change the way the world works. And the solution will be local and one-to-one. I absolutely, completely, firmly believe that. Yeah. So, for example, amongst the... If you as a business want to now go green, for want of a better phrase, and act responsibly towards the planet as much as to your shareholders, then essentially big manufacturers are on the way out, just as oil and gas is going to be on the way out. And it will be small local businesses, farmers, manufacturers, retailers, suppliers, service providers, who will be ahead of the game. They can change quicker, there'll be a demand for their services. So again, that it supports my perception that it will be local people, local businesses, local communities who are the catalyst for the new dispensation post-climate, post-Brexit, post-everything else.
So these small businesses, will they get big in the future?
I don't think that matters. A lot of small business owners, frankly, just want an income. They don't necessarily want to grow. And growth itself is part of the problem of killing the planet. So. As part of what I think of, and I think a lot of climate philosophers are beginning to think, is that has to be some kind of post-consumer society that is not so dependent on fossil fuels. And that's going to demand a completely new dispensation in the way countries are run, the way communities are run, people's values, their sense of what constitutes a good life. It won't be just earning and shopping any longer. It'll be other things.
Yeah.
Consumerism has to go. Without that, the planet is on an unstoppable route.
Well, that was what I was alluding to earlier on when I was talking about the cars.
Exactly.
But it's not just energy. It's all resources. Water's another key issue, isn't it? Fresh water.
To stop emissions, you've got to stop burning stuff. And the main stuff is fossil fuels. Now, once you stop burning fossil fuels, even reducing it, you have to stop manufacturing things, because that's the biggest use of energy. You've got to stop transporting things. Globalization will shrink back into to local communities. And once you start to think through that process, we're back to what we're all saying, that the solution, the future, is all local.
Mm. Although IT is actually a big issue in terms of energy consumption as well, isn't it? It's up there with the real big boys.
Server farms and serving up just catering for people's.
Yeah. Everybody playing games all the time is just burns up the energy.
You're I think, you know, as I was saying, you're looking for a golden moment. These usually are, you know, the sort of whatever, what's the phrase? It's like 5 years to become an overnight success. That sort of it feels a bit like that at the moment in terms of for the technology. That actually what we've got here now is despite being, you know, hugely into technology, I'm probably not thinking about the next laptop or the next phone because it does what it does. And to be honest, I've got MacBooks. That sounds like flogging apples now. You know, for 10-year-old apples still do the job. I've got 10-year-old PCs. Still do the job. You know, I don't.
And it's interesting, though, isn't it? Sorry, just on that. I've got a couple of them at home. And actually, you try and use them now. It does get to the stage where fundamentally there's nothing wrong with the hardware, but the issue is that the software's moved on.
I always say this like when you get to meet somebody, the machine is always it still does what it was designed to do. Yeah. Back in, I've got a brick, which I think is a Compaq. It's a 7-inch by 12-inch screen. It's a real like a letterbox type thing, black and white, and it was Word DOS, and you could word process.
Yeah.
It does that perfectly happily, but it won't do anything. It won't won't take Windows or anything.
There are two new business opportunities that will be rapidly coming out. One is going to be manufacturing consumer goods that last indefinitely rather than designed to be replaced every 2 to 3 years. That has to happen straight away, but it can only happen with consumer action. It can't happen only with government action.
By people voting with their feet?
Sanctions and boycotts.
If
it's good for boycotts against Russia and Iran, then surely it is against big manufacturers whose stuff has to be insured in order to keep it going beyond 3 years. I mean, that has to stop. So manufacturing for for indefinite. The other thing that I've already begun to see is a whole new business sector called fixing things.
Oh, yeah.
So instead of replacing things and going off to shopping malls to get a new one and feeling, oh, wow, isn't this a great new shopping, great new washing machine or whatever, rather we will call a supplier from the nearby city and they'll take it away and 2 days later they'll bring it back as good as new. And I'm already seeing that, and I really hope that would be a huge growth area.
Well, I think we've got a declutterer here on this network. Jo, she's not been involved here today.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, I was talking to her as an example of that. I'm decluttering, trying to. The kids bring more stuff back. As soon as the space is provided, the kids fill it up with their stuff. Because silly little story, my daughter's a long way away at the moment, and she was showing some pictures, sharing all the technology, just walking around the new flat. And I just read the comments, said, oh, that looks fantastically minimalistic. Lovely, really like that. And she said, oh yeah, it's really good. So I said, I'll turn my camera around and showed her room. It looked like she just left last night. I said,